Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community. And welcome to Nature Mystic with Selena Fox, a podcast where we enjoy encore presentations of topics covered by Circle Sanctuary Senior Minister Selena Fox from her previous podcasts, Circlecraft Studies and Nature Folk. In tonight's encore from 2018, Selena discussed ways of creating and working with personal, household, and community altars as part of Samhain celebrations.
Welcome to Nature Folk. This is Selena Fox, and Nature Folk is brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, as well as the podcast that follows, Circle Talk. We want to give thanks to Witch School International and the Pagans Tonight Radio Network for their support of our Circle Sanctuary Radio Ministries. Tonight on Nature Folk, we take a look at Samhain altars. We'll explore some ways of creating altars, working with them, and having altars as part of Samhain festivities, rituals, meditations, divinations. Samhain, Samhain, summer's end, veil is thin. Samhain, Samhain, spirit friends, veil is thin. Samhain is a time for honoring the dead, for marking the transition between the old year and the new year coming. For the ancient Celtic peoples, it was the new year time. For many pagans, druids, Wiccans, and other nature spirituality practitioners, it is a spiritual new year. It is a time between the worlds. It is a time for looking to the past, looking to the future, and being in the eternal now and connecting with dimensions that not only link humankind alive today with each other and with the greater circle of nature, but that also involves connecting with the spirits of beloved dead, of ancestors who have gone before and that are said to come and connect as part of community, household, and individual observances at this time. It's also a time to project into the future for future people, future ways of being. Samhain has been celebrated in many ways over the ages. As Christianity became the dominant religion in old Europe, Samhain celebrations continued, but under Christian names, All Hallows, or All Saints Day, November 1st, All Souls Day, November 2nd. The name Halloween comes from All Hallows Eve. And Halloween today in the U.S. and in many parts of the world not only have pagan underpinnings and some Christian underpinnings, but has emerged as more of a secular celebration of the last of the harvest, of the beginning of the colder months, the darker months, a time long associated with the other world, with things magical. In creating one or more Samhain altars, a good place to start is to take a look at your own observances of Samhain and what Samhain means to you. Is it your new year? Is it a time for letting go, assessing, and repatterning? Is it a holiday that also is intertwined with Halloween, or perhaps some other holiday that comes around this time of year, the Day of the Dead for those of Mexican and some other forms of Latin American heritage? Begin by reflecting on Samhain, what it means to you and for those who will be connecting with the Samhain altar. And also reflect on what is the purpose of your Samhain altar. For me, I have multiple Samhain altars, and I will be drawing from some of my own personal experiences in creating and working with Samhain altars as we continue our explorations tonight. If you have a year-round personal altar, one way of having a Samhain altar is to work with your year-round altar and simply add some Samhain imagery to it. Some, in addition to having a personal altar, will have a household altar or shrine. In like fashion, you can deck it out for the Samhain season. Some things that are easily obtainable for many people are pumpkins, mini pumpkins, gourds, other symbols of late autumn, and those can be added, or objects that are representational of those objects. I have both actual mini pumpkins that I use on Samhain altars in my own home, as well as pumpkin images made out of ceramic, made out of wood, and some other materials. One of the advantages of having things that can be preserved from year to year, such as a ceramic pumpkin, is that it's something that can carry memories from year to year and is something that you do not have to do as much upkeep with as something that's more organic. That's especially important if you have creatures in your household that may be attracted to some biodegradable symbols that you may consider using. Another consideration as you consider Samhain and what altar or altars to have is when to start decorating for Samhain and creating an altar. For some people, they start October 1st for all of those in the Northern Hemisphere that will be celebrating Samhain on the 31st of October or thereabout. So there is a month-long celebration and preparations for Samhain night. Some people enjoy adding to an altar every few days. Certainly, I began creating Samhain altars several weeks ago as I gathered objects that I've used in the past and added some new ones. Where to put your Samhain altar? So much of this has to do with its purpose. If you have a private personal altar that you have in your bedroom or your study or some other private place, then you may put some objects on it that are things you wouldn't normally have on display, and that can add a special dimension to your altar. Many people, though, will have a Samhain altar in the living area of one's home where one does entertaining. And if the purpose of your Samhain altar is to bring Samhain dimensions to celebrations and social gatherings that you have around Samhain time, it makes perfect sense to have something in a place that's quite visible and that can be appreciated by other people who are coming for the activities. How big to make your Samhain altar? This is personal choice as well as circumstance. Some people have a small table that they use as an altar, and certainly that will work. For people with limited space, an altar can be put on a windowsill, on a ledge, on a bookshelf, on a top of a chest of drawers. And for people who are in places where having one's spiritual orientation in view of visitors or roommates is not the best option, there are some who will create an altar in a drawer, pull out the drawer, altar is present. Done with altar, put it away. Or some people have an altar arrangement that is on a small box that's easily portable, or on some type of table with wheels that can be moved in and out of visible space. Some people like to have altars in every room of the house to celebrate and to observe a Sabbath festival. And certainly I have many altars around different parts of my house as part of my way of observing the holiday. So much of Samhain altar making and use really is a matter of personal preference and style, as well as what type of time one has to devote to the altar making and altar use. I think it can be very powerful to start creating one or more altars several weeks before Samhain and to allow the altar to take shape as a kind of artistic work in progress. Sometimes you may find, as Samhain approaches, additional imagery could possibly be found online and could be printed out, or cards or objects may be given to you, or as you walk into the woods or in the fields or go into the gardens, there may be symbols of the season that call to you to be included in the Samhain altar. I'd like to shift now in talking about several types of Samhain altars by location. Many people have a Samhain altar that may be more commonly known as a Halloween display on their front porch or doorstep. Often this takes the form of a pumpkin and some other decorations that are connected with this time of year. They not consider it an altar per se, but by having those symbols present and visible, it is a way of converging attention and intention with the celebration and observance of the holiday. I like to have on my front porch altar two pumpkins that have been obtained from the local area. In fact, one of our early Samhain altar crafting traditions is to go to one of the local farmers markets where there are many types of pumpkins out available for viewing and for purchase. And typically I will get a couple pumpkins, pretty equal in size, to put on either side of my main door into the house. Often I will get some gourds or mini pumpkins or other smaller items that I will put on my kitchen window ledge as a kind of altar as I go visit the kitchen throughout the season. Some people get quite elaborate with their threshold, front door, doorstop, front yard displays. And a wonderful thing that many people do is to take a tour of various Halloween and or Samhain displays in the neighborhood, in the local area. For me, Samhain is a sacred spiritual time. Halloween is a form of it that's a secular form, a multicultural form that's in pop culture, and I will freely intertwine the Samhain imagery and some Halloween imagery for different types of altars that I create. So I may get some jack-o'-lantern images that hold votive candles, and while they are designed for people in their Halloween celebrations, they fit for Samhain altars that I create to help me observe in a sacred way this time of year. So we have the Samhain at the front door altar. Could have a wreath on your door, pumpkins on the steps. You can have lanterns and other images. If there's trick-or-treating that happens on or near Halloween time, clearly having some decor like that that's in the spirit of the season is a social thing and a fun thing for that custom that continues on. Another form of entryway Samhain altar is what I call Samhain in the front hall. So right inside the door as you go into your home is a wonderful place to put some type of Samhain altar. it not only can be a welcoming of guests that come in at that time of year for visits and dinners and parties, but it can be a kind of welcoming the spirit of the holiday in all of its forms. I have a small altar table in my foyer in my home, and I decorate that in various ways from year to year to be a kind of welcoming the Samhain spirit into the home. In another part of my house, I have what I call the Sabbath altar. I have a large bowl with the names of the 8 Sabbaths that are in this beautiful ceramic piece, and I turn the name of the Sabbath front and center as I go through the wheel of the year, and I change out the contents of that bowl. So for Samhain time, I have some mini pumpkins that are actually made of a more durable material and that are imitations of the actual real mini pumpkins that I have in my kitchen. And I fill the bowl with pumpkins as a symbol of the season. And on either side, I have some lights and some other images. When you have a Sabbath altar, you can change that altar every 6.5 to 7 weeks as you turn the wheel of the year. So it's another way of welcoming the spirit of the Sabbath into the home. Another place where I have an altar is in my study, and there I presently have it set up as a beloved dead altar with photographs of beloved dead, those who have died in the past year. Some ways of creating a Samhain altar of the dead and for the dead is to have one altar and on it to put photographs and tokens of remembrance of those who have died since the previous Samhain. Another way to have a Samhain altar for beloved dead is to have an altar with photographs, tokens of remembrance, heirlooms, sometimes writing the names down, of various ancestors and deceased loved ones that one especially wishes to contact during the Samhain season. I've done quite a bit of work with genealogy, and as a result, I have many names of many ancestors, not as many photographs and tokens of remembrance. So in creating a more universal altar for all my relations who have crossed over, whether I physically knew them in this life or not, I will have some images of some that I wish to connect with or some token representing them. And I will also have my notebook, which I call the Book of Names, which has the family tree charts in it. Another approach to creating and working with a Samhain altar for the dead is to have an individual altar for each deceased loved one that one seeks to commune with, to connect with, to remember, to pay respects to at the Samhain time. what kinds of things to put on the altar. Photographs, objects that the loved one has given you, objects that remind you of that loved one. If there were memorial cards, poems, other things connected with the death passages of that loved one, to have those present. Some people will take a blossom from a memorial flower display at the time of funeral or memorial and burial, and then preserve that flower, dry it, preserve it in some way, and then place it on the altar for the dead as one links in with that beloved loved one. One thing that I do every year in connection with a Samhain altar for the dead is to have a place setting with a plate and a cup and a candle for all the beloved dead and ancestors that I seek to honor. Often I will have that altar set up facing the west part of my home. The west in the circle craft tradition, which I practice, is connected with the setting sun and moving into old age and the end of life. Sometimes I will have multiple candles. My cup has the name Samhain inscribed on it. My plate is an antique metal plate that I use for offerings of food for the beloved dead. On Samhain night, I will take some of every beverage that I'm consuming, if I'm with others, that we are consuming, and place it in the cup, and some bits of every type of food that's being consumed, and place it on the plate. Then calling two beloved dead and ancestors to come to dine with us, to partake energetically of the food and beverage. Part of the lore of Halloween and trick-or-treating says that the trick-or-treat custom of going door-to-door and getting goodies actually had its origins in offering traditions for the beloved dead. It was said that if you remembered your beloved dead and ancestors with food and drink, invited them at your table, that you would be blessed or have a treat in the year ahead. And if you failed to honor them in this way, you would have some opportunities to problem solve or the trick. Having candles that can go throughout Samhain night safely can be a wonderful thing. And one way to do that, if you're not going to be in attendance of the altar or altars where there are candles set up to provide light and energy, is to use votive candles, or even better yet, battery-operated candles and or tea lights. In addition to presenting offerings and inviting the dead to come and be present at your Samhain meal and your Samhain observance, another tradition that you might find powerful is what's known as the Dumb Supper. To have an altar or a place setting at the actual table where everyone is eating that is set up altar style for the beloved dead, to eat the meal in silence from the start of the meal until it concludes. Another tradition connected with the altar for the dead is the food offerings and the beverage offerings after being presented on Samhain night the next day, to take those offerings to go to an old beautiful tree or some other sacred place in nature and to set the food offerings on the ground and pour the beverage as a kind of libation. In addition to having a Samhain feast for the dead altar and a Samhain altar that honors one or more deceased loved ones and ancestors, you may want to have a Samhain altar that connects you with death and images of death. For this holiday is one that's associated with that other world. I have a number of images. Some people might call them ghostly type images, but personifications of death, certainly the skull or in Day of the Dead observances, the sugar skull, are connected not only with this holiday time, but with that whole part of the cycle of living, the death part. Having an altar with imagery connected with death, it may be skeleton figures, it may be draped figures, it may be a combination of forms of death as Grim Reaper, as liberator, as healer, as midwife. Having an altar where you pay your respects to death as part of the circle of life, death, and rebirth can be very powerful. One way of working with the spirit of death altar is as you reflect on death, connect with it, is to write your own obituary, to set down thoughts for what funeral, memorial, or other death passage rites you would like to have when your time comes. It is a way of getting in touch with that part of the cycle of being. And as you create those ideas, transcripts of ritual, other thoughts, you can then add them to the altar, and as additional thoughts come to you, as your thinking evolves, you will have them at a place that's very accessible. Many people, though, are very private when it comes to making those kinds of choices and may prefer to have those thoughts, those wishes, those intentions not out in the open, but put in a book form or put into an envelope that may or may not be visible on the altar. If there's an altar cloth, it might be tucked under it. If there is a big candle, it might be set on top of it. Some other types of altars to create and work with at Samhain time are the divination altar. There are many forms of assessing past, present, and future through divination. I'd like to talk about a couple of these. A divination altar that has a surface big enough to be able to do some type of card spread. And working with oracle cards or tarot cards, one can take a look at past influences, present influences, future influences. In addition to having a divination tool, you'll likely find it helpful to have some kind of divination journal or other means for recording what divination work you do. So if you have a divination altar with a deck of oracle cards or tarot cards, cards could be placed right in the center of that space, and then other objects one would need in the divination ritual would also be set on that altar. Some like to have a symbol of each of the five elements of nature: earth, a pentacle, a dish of salt, a stone, a platter with some soil or with some cornmeal or other substance on it. For air, a feather, a quill pen, incense burner with incense, chimes. For fire, a lamp, a wand, a particular kind of candle. For water, a chalice or a bowl representing the element water. For spirit, a clear quartz crystal, some sacred object representing spiritual tradition or one's inner self. Some use the cauldron as a symbol of spirit. One can actually have a cauldron altar with five cauldrons, each dedicated to one of the five elements of nature. A cauldron of earth for earth, a cauldron that's an incense burner for air, a cauldron with a candle in it for fire, a cauldron with water in it for water, a cauldron in the center with a crystal for spirit. In addition to a divination altar, one may want to have a sacred fire as a kind of altar where one does sacred work. Now, this could be a hearth fire, and symbols of what one seeks to release from one's life, to let go, can be cast into that fire as a gesture and an expression of the intention to let go of old ways of being, of what is no longer needed. A bonfire outside can serve that purpose. And while a bonfire may not look like many altars that are set up to have a variety of different ceremonial tools on them that are used for rituals, a bonfire can be its own kind of altar with just a few items nearby, things that would be used to feed the fire, to poke the fire, to arrange the fire, and ultimately when the fire has completed itself through ritual or through time, to have some water that would extinguish any remnants of the fire for safety. So a fire altar can be one of release, of purification, of letting go, a symbolic cleansing of one's life and lifestyle. A fire also can be used to energize, to reinforce intention, to strengthen connections. In addition to a hearth fire or a bonfire serving as a kind of fire altar, one can have a fire altar by having a metal cauldron, usually having some sand or other substance in the base, and then a fire can be kindled through a candle on it or in some other way, and that can be an ingredient in some other type of altar and used for healing and repatterning and cleansing. Some other types of altars that can be created at Samhain include what I call the Samhain Religious Freedom Altar. Across the U.S. and some other parts of the world, pagans often get in the news for their spirituality, their religion, their folk practices. Part of it has to do with witch lore, so connected with Halloween and other holidays. Something that I do as part of my Samhain work is send out prayers for equal rights for Wiccans, witches, druids, other pagans at this time of year. I have symbols of liberty and justice. Indeed, Lady Liberty and Lady Justice are ancient Roman goddesses from the pagan past that have now been cycled into the U.S. public art and also appear in other parts of the world. But one way of creating a religious freedom altar as part of a Samhain altar building is to have some images of goddesses connected with the land where you are. So for me, Lady Liberty, for liberty or libertas, an image of justice for the justice, for wisdom, Minerva and or Athena, an image for other virtues, other dimensions, to have these powerful forms of the divine present on a religious freedom altar reinforces the power of that intention. Candles can be lit for situations and people who are in need of help, reinforcing prayers, well wishes through the religious freedom altar can be a powerful experience. Home altars can be quite versatile and can give a lot of flexibility. But an evening workshop on Samhain altars would not be complete without talking about other types of Samhain altars. If you are part of a pagan group or community, then some type of community group solid altar can not only be beautiful, but it can be a way of deepening the members of that group or community with each other, as well as the spirit of the holiday. One of the things that I do at workshops and at ceremonies that I facilitate at this time of year at Circle Sanctuary and elsewhere, I invite those who are participating in a ceremony or workshop to bring a symbol representing Samhain to oneself personally. And at the start of our time together, we add them to the community altar. We create altar together. And by having different symbols that are present and learning the story of the symbol, because that's one way of doing this approach, is as each symbol is added, the person adding that symbol talks about its meaning to oneself and what one is bringing with that symbol to the group, to the altar, to the sacred space. Working with a community altar in this way is not only a decorative form of others contributing Samhain symbols, but by having that altar present during ritual, during meditation, and other spiritual practices, then that imbues the objects that are there with that dynamic. So it's a wonderful way of energizing Samhain articles and being able to take them back into one's own home space. Another thing that one can do as a community altar at Samhain time is to have a massive altar as a remembrance for beloved dead. Every year at the Samhain gathering at Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve, we have many tables put end to end along several of the walls. We drape them with black, symbol of the night, and a color connected with Samhain, black as mystery, black as the fertile dark. And then all the participants in our festival are invited to bring tokens of remembrance, symbols, candles, images, photographs of one or more departed loved ones. So we have a large, collectively created community altar for the beloved dead and ancestors. And each person gets their own little area, and the various areas kind of connect with each other. And it's quite a spectacular outpouring of respect and remembrance for the beloved dead and ancestors. But it also makes it possible for us to more fully connect with each other, to recognize the beloved dead of others. One part of our community altar that we do is the community altar of the beloved dead who have died within the past year. We do endeavor to get a photograph of each of the people who have been part of our community or associated with us in some way, and then to have their image, and sometimes we have the image and their name printed out as well, so that people see names as well as images for those who we are remembering. It can be a very good thing to have some incense burning when you do altars for the dead, be there at your home or in a community space. One of my favorite incenses to burn is frankincense. And getting some joss sticks of, or stick incense as it's also known, of frankincense can be a wonderful addition to a communal as well as a personal Samhain altar honoring the dead. In addition to community altars for Samhain celebrations, I'd like to share another location for Samhain altars, and that is the cemetery. Visiting one or more cemeteries where departed loved ones and ancestors are can be a powerful experience, especially at this time of year. I think it is very powerful and appropriate to be able to take some fresh flowers or some other type of offerings to place on or near the gravestone at the cemetery. Some people, Day of the Dead style, will spend hours at a cemetery at the grave or graves of loved ones, not only cleansing the grave, but actually having a picnic on or near the grave. Here again, the pattern of honoring the beloved dead of the ancestors to come and observe Samhain with you, Day of the Dead with you, Halloween, All Saints, All Souls Day with you, can be a wonderful tradition. There are different types of altars that are connected with the Days of the Dead, which for many people coincides with the Celtic Samhain as well as the multicultural Halloween. For some, it's the 31st of October. Other people celebrate at the beginning of November. Some will celebrate on November 5th and or 6th, which is the more exact midpoint between fall equinox and winter solstice. But regardless of where and when you do your observation, know that an altar can enhance observances of many types. In closing, reflect on Samhain. Reflect on ways of observing Samhain. Reflect on the use of one or more Samhain altars as an aid, as an enhancement to your Samhain alignment and observances. Reflect on what you would like to have present on the altar, what the meaning of that altar is for you, who you would like to have access to that altar. Make a note of your Samhain altar work that can help you build on it from year to year. And I also suggest that you take one or more photographs of any Samhain altar that you create. And if you feel it is appropriate, to be able to share that with others you know and love and care about. And even going beyond that, sharing it with the larger world. Samhain, Samhain, summer's end, the veil is thin, come, spirit friend, to Samhain, Samhain, Samhain. I wish you all a good Samhain and preparations up for this time of year.
And thank you for joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.